The National Partnership for Women and Families just issued its third edition of Expecting Better, a state-by-state analysis of laws that help new parents. That's the title of a new report. The report looks at how well state policies support expecting and new parents, and folks, neither Kansas nor Missouri fared very well. Both states received a failing grade of F. Here to talk about it is Vicki Schabo. She's vice president of the National Partnership for Women and Families. Vicki, welcome to Up to Date. So nice to have you.
So nice to be here. Thanks so much.
Well, start us off by telling us how many states failed to come up to snuff in support of new parents. What did you find, Vicki?
Well, unfortunately, Kansas and Missouri are in good company. 17 states. I know it's not really a list you want to be on, but 17 states in the country received the same failing grade of F that Kansas and Missouri received, and in total, 31 states received a D or an F. So there's a lot of work to be done across the country in terms of updating public policies that help new and expecting parents when a child arrives.
I was going to say, this is not a very pretty picture out there. Were you discouraged by what you found, Vicki?
Well, I think we are heartened by the work that we are doing and that the coalitions that we lead in support of better federal, state, and local work-family policies are doing. There is a lot of work to be done out there. Families are struggling to make ends meet. When families have a child, adopt a child, have a child by birth, they're too often forced to make choices between their jobs and their finances and caring for that new child that they and our society needs them to take care of.
Yeah, I can remember those days in my own life, Vicki. I mean, these states that receive failing grades, they receive them why? What does that mean exactly?
Yeah, so that's a great question about our methodology. What we did was review all of the public policies at the state level aimed at helping new and expecting parents. We looked at whether these states went beyond federal law in terms of unpaid family and medical leave, access to pregnancy accommodations, rights for nursing mothers in the workplace. Federal law sets a standard for some workers, but we graded states on whether they improve upon those federal policies to offer more opportunities and protections for new and expecting parents.
Did any states receive the grade of A, Vicki, and how many?
Only one state, and that's the state of California, shows real leadership and receives a grade of A- for doing the most among all of the states to support working parents. A number of states, 11 states in total, earned Bs, ranging from B- to B+, which means that they have put in place some but not enough supportive policies. 8 states earned Cs, and again, 31 states got a D or an F.
Well, California's had such massive budget issues, at least, not now, but more in recent years. How did they manage to pull off an A- grade here?
Well, California has a number of programs in place and a number of protections to help new and expecting parents. First and foremost, for the last 10 years, new parents and other family caregivers have been able to take paid leave through a state-administered insurance program called Family Leave Insurance. For a number of years, for decades actually, California workers have been able to take temporary disability insurance that's provided for through a state program funded through small payroll deductions to provide some income replacement when a worker needs time away from work because of a health condition, and that includes pregnant women who need time away to prepare for and recover from childbirth. California also protects pregnant women with a pregnancy accommodation law and has some other protections in place.
Boy, that's interesting to me, Vicki. How many states provide some type of paid leave when, you know, a mom has a baby, the mom has to miss work? And how long of a time do these states that do provide some pay, how long do they pay it for?
So 3 states in the country, California, which, as I said, just yesterday celebrated a 10th anniversary of the implementation of the program, New Jersey, which yesterday celebrated its 5th anniversary, and Rhode Island provide paid family leave. So that protects new moms and new dads with some portion of their wages when they need time away to take care of a newborn or newly adopted or foster child. In addition, those 3 states, plus the states of New York and Hawaii, offer temporary disability insurance to new moms who are taking the time to prepare for and recover from childbirth. So in total, 5 states provide paid leave to new moms, and again, the 3 states, California, New Jersey, and Rhode Island, provide additional period of leave to moms, as well as 6 weeks for dads. 6 weeks in California, New Jersey, 4 weeks in Rhode Island for dads.
That's so interesting to me. Does the National Partnership for Women and Families, the group that you work for, what does it advocate when it comes to, you know, paid leave for moms and dads who are just having a baby? What do you think should be happening out there?
Well, what we're most excited about is the work that we and about 437 organizations across the country are working on in support of a national paid family and medical leave standard. There's a proposal pending in Congress called the Family and Medical Insurance Leave Act, which would guarantee up to 12 weeks of paid leave for new moms and new dads, as well as people who are caring for seriously ill parents, spouses or domestic partners or children, or for their own serious health condition, or to care for a member of the military who's been seriously injured. This builds on our nation's only work and family law that applies to women and to men, which is called the Family and Medical Leave Act, and it was passed in 1993. It's been used over 100 million times by men and women across the country when they need to care for a new child or when they need to care for a seriously ill loved one. But it has some gaps, and that's what the Family Act is working to fill.
And when folks take a leave when they have a new baby and you know, under the ideas that your group is talking about, who picks up the tab for that? Is it state government? Is it insurance companies? Or how does it work in the vision that you guys have?
So in the states and also in the proposed federal program, paid leave is self-funded, and it's funded through small payroll deductions from employees and employers. So people pay in a very small portion of their wages. Under the federal proposal, it would be 0.2%, or 2 cents for every $10 in wages. And that would guarantee up to 66% of a worker's wages, up to a cap each month, when somebody needs to take time away to care for a new child, an ill spouse, parent, or child.
And Vicki, this is this tax you're talking about, is it paid for by all workers?
It would be, yes, paid for by all workers, and all employers would share in the costs. In the states that have these programs, the temporary disability insurance states that I talked about, California, New Jersey, Rhode Island, Hawaii, and New York, some states do employee-only contributions, some do employee-employer matches. And it's proven to be a win-win for workers and families, for the businesses in those states, and for the economies.
Well, I would have liked to have had that when we went through childbirth, you know, in my house a couple of times. Let me get our listeners involved here. What do you make of this proposal that Vicki Eshabo has trotted out here, this notion of a paid leave when mom and dad have a new baby? All workers would pay a small portion of their salaries to help cover, pay a portion of their salaries while they're away from the office. What do you think of that idea? 816-235-2888 is our number here. Again, 816-235-2888. Let's get down to some particulars here, Vicki, because it's a laundry list of practices that your organization and other groups would like to see as a matter of policy, you know, endorsed by every state here. And a lot of them have the word leave in them. So differentiate for us between family leave, maternity leave, and parental leave for us.
Sure. So family leave takes into account all the reasons that we talked about, whether you're caring for a new baby or a newly adopted child, whether you're caring for a seriously ill spouse, partner, parent, or child. Maternity leave is a term that's typically used just to talk about the time that a woman would take off of work to prepare for or recover from childbirth. And parental leave is a subset of leave that would apply to moms or dads to bond with a baby. You know, I think it's really important to put in context why we are talking about public policies in this space. We know that only 12% of workers have paid family leave through their employers. Only about 40% have disability insurance through an employer sponsored or provided program. That's leaving out about 60% of the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
Only about 60% of workers have even a single paid sick day to use for themselves, to get routine care, to deal with a health condition. So there is a serious unmet need for something that we know to be ubiquitously important. In some polling that we did recently, close to 75% of folks said that they faced significant hardships because of the need to balance work and family and personal responsibilities. And a similar, close to 3/4, said that they would face significant financial hardships if they had a new child or if they needed to care for a seriously ill loved one or their own serious health condition. So we're in a time where nearly all families have two parents working, where there's a growing number of single parents, and where women's incomes are making up a significant portion of family income. So 44% on average is the share that married women's income, married women's wages contribute to a family's income.
Yeah.
So we're past a time when there is a woman, typically a woman, staying home to take care of the family's health and personal needs, and you know the dad, the Leave It to Beaver dad, is going off to work. We're in a time where all adults are working or seeking work, and yet our workplace policies haven't kept up, and our public policies haven't kept up either.
I was going to say, are you guys winning the war in terms of what you're fighting for here, or do you see benefits for pregnant folks sort of slipping back, going the wrong way, at least in your view?
Well, first of all, I think I wouldn't characterize it as a war. I think too often actually it is, and there's sort of this false tension between what's good for employees and what's good for businesses. And what we're continually seeing, and seeing in growing numbers, as evidenced last week at the very exciting gathering in Washington of more than 1,500 business owners, workers, advocates, researchers, and others, is that there are business benefits, employer benefits, to treating workers appropriately, to keeping pregnant women in the workplace as long as they want to be there before having a child, and offering them the accommodations to do so, the same accommodations that are offered to other folks with physical limitations, to offering paid leave to new moms and new dads who are then able to take care of their children and of themselves and come back to work more productive, more loyal. And there are benefits to economies. There's a reduction in public assistance and an increase in tax paying when we give people the time they need to take care of their loved ones and then come back to work.
Let me get our listeners involved here. I'm going to take some calls. Would you like to see new policy in place that would provide a paid leave of absence when you or your spouse have a baby or maybe need to take care of an aging parent? 816-235-2888 is our number here. Lisa from Kansas City, Missouri. Good morning.
Good morning. First of all, yes, I would totally love to see us join everyone else in the industrialized world with paid maternity and paternity leave. But my overall question is, I'm having my first child, and I live in Missouri, work in Kansas, and I actually have no idea how to find out what my rights are to make sure that I'm asking my employer the right questions and that I'm being treated fairly.
What can she ask her employer? What should she be asking her employer, Vicki?
That's a great question, Lisa, and congratulations on the birth of your first child or on expecting your first child. So two things here. First, in terms of your rights, we've got a guide up on our website that tells you a Q&A about your rights under the Family and Medical Leave Act, the federal law that does cover you if you work for an employer of 50 or more employees. And if you've been on the job for at least a year and worked at least 1,250 hours in the past year. So that would be a first resource for you. Otherwise, also, there are rights on the publications on the Department of Labor's website that you might find useful about your rights as a new mom in the workplace with respect to nursing. But unfortunately, neither Missouri nor Kansas provide any protections beyond federal law. And that was the finding of our report and the reason that both states got a failing grade in the report.
Sorry, Lisa.
One other really important thing just to flag, because so many of your listeners are across two states, the states of Missouri and Kansas, one of the reasons we need a national paid family and medical leave insurance standard is for that very reason. You work in Missouri, you live in Kansas, maybe you move between the two. You don't want to be tied to one of those two states or to a particular employer. With a program like the Family Act, you would be able to obtain those paid leave benefits wherever you live and wherever you work.
I hope that helps, Lisa.
It very much helps. Thank you very much.
And good luck with your pregnancy, Lisa.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Kevin from Kansas City, Missouri. Kevin's from Canada and wants to talk about that. Kevin, good morning.
Yeah, I'm good morning. I've been here for about 7 years, and essentially when I arrived, I was really shocked when I heard there was no paid leave for expecting mothers or new mothers. And it does make a lot of sense to bring something about. My question was, there's a concern in Canada that, and maybe you just answered this with the 1,250 hours, but in Canada, you know, an expecting mother 3 months due gets a new job, has a baby, and then takes a paid year off and there was some concern that, you know, they should have a certain amount of time before they can take that paid leave, a certain amount of time of working. I was wondering if there is some sort of stipulation there or understanding for that.
That's a great question, Kevin. So under current federal law, the unpaid but job-protected leave under the Family and Medical Leave Act, an employee does need to be on the job for a year and have worked 1,250 hours. Under the new proposal, the Family Act, which would run parallel to the FMLA, there wouldn't be the same kind of requirement in terms of getting the paid portion of leave. But if you don't have as much time on the job, your employer isn't obligated to hold your job for you necessarily. They can't retaliate against you for taking the leave or treat you differently than they would treat another worker, but they're not obligated to necessarily hold that job for you before you've established that longstanding relationship.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
All right, Kevin. Thanks for the call. You know, Vicki, do you find that employers, you know, tend to resist applying the practices that we're talking about here today because just simply enough they're worried about the added costs of doing that?
Well, one of the great things that we've found now that we've had paid leave in California for 10 years and in New Jersey for 5 years is that employers there are seeing a win-win situation. All of the research that's been conducted with employers in those states shows support for the policies that are in place there. And in fact, public opinion polling of business owners, smaller business owners, in fact, nationwide shows support for this kind of an insurance program.
Mm-hmm.
Businesses report, you know, very few problems with administering the programs. They've learned to adapt in terms of cross-training and organizing work a little bit differently. But more than that, they see benefits in terms of productivity, loyalty, peace of mind for their employees, greater productivity when a worker comes back to work, and overall benefits to the company as well as to the worker.
All right.
So in support of that and in support of the federal proposal, there's also a growing list of businesses that are in support because they recognize that what's good for their workers is also good for their business, and that doing this through an insurance program, through a shared cost system, lightens the load for them as employers who are trying to do the right things for their workers but may not be able to bear the full cost.
Let's go to Eva. Eva, you're on with Vicki Szabo. She's vice president of the National Partnership for Women and Families. Good morning.
Good morning. I really value Vicki's comments. I work with a faith-based nonprofit, and we certainly recognize the value of work and how important in Kansas City our economy is based on the status of our workers. And what I appreciate most, Vicki, about what you're putting forward is that you're recognizing the dignity of workers and the need to see family in addition to the labor force, and that we're all interconnected. And so when we move healthy families through Family Leave Act and through paid leave, we're also advancing the health of our economy and our workforce. So thank you for your comments.
Thank you, Eva. It's great to hear about the work that you're doing there to organize the faith community and to work with workers on really taking care of themselves and contributing to the economy. And I think you're exactly right. All of the research shows that when workers have paid leave, they're more likely to stay in the workforce, they're more likely to earn higher wages over time, and they're more likely to be financially independent, both in the short term and also providing for their own economic security in the long term.
We're going to have to leave our conversation there. Eva, thank you for your call. And Vicki Szabo, again, vice president of the National Partnership for Women and Families. Thanks for your time today, too, Vicki. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me
on. All the best. You bet.